but they were only matir things that were originally a shvus, and things that were not osur midaraisa in the first place. Those things are the things that the chachamim were matir for you. Now, this statement is a little bit confusing because it sounds like Reb Shimon is saying one thing, but as we see from the Gemara, as we're about to read, that Reb Shimon really is saying two different things. So without taking too much time, so very quickly, the first half of the statement that Reb Shimon said is that what the Chachamim were matir for you is Mishalcha, is really referring to the concept of Tchumen. In other words, the idea that we've been learning about throughout this entire Masechta is the idea that a person is only allowed to go, let's say, 2,000 amos outside of where his initial place that he camped on Shabbos, where he was considered stationed on Shabbos. He was only allowed to go 2,000 amos. So Reb Shimon earlier in the Masechta had made a statement that if, for whatever one reason or another, a person realized that they are somehow camped outside of that area, outside of the 2,000 amma marker, and Reb Shimon says, as long as he's still within 15 amos of that marker, he's able to walk back into the tchum as if he never left the tchum in the first place. So that is the explanation to the words, Mokav shetiru l'cha chachamim mishalcha nosnu. That which the Chachamim allowed you to walk back in, really they were giving it to you, it was yours in the first place because you were never really outside the Tchum. For either one of two reasons why we considered it, we measure the Tchum closer to them what it really is, either because we're afraid that a person may accidentally walk outside the Tchum without realizing it, or because the way they measured it wasn't an accurate measurement in the first place, so they dafka put the simin of where the 2,000 amas ends a little bit earlier. In any event, what Reb Shimon was saying over here was that I'm not being matir something that was really usr. Really, it was mutter in the first place, even on the tzad that it was usr, that 2,000 amas is a din that the Rabbanan were makbid on, this measurement of 2,000 amas isn't accurate, so you're able to walk in within 2,000 amos. That was the first half of Reb Shimon's statement. But to be Messiah, I just want to read one or two lines from the Gemara to finish off. The second half of the statement was, Shelo yitir lecha ela mishom shvos. That which they were matir for you was only really an isur shvos in the first place. So the Gemara asks, Heicha koi. So where is Reb Shimon talking about? There's obviously some sort of previous statement that Reb Shimon made or somebody else made in the Mishnah that Reb Shimon doesn't agree with. So what was he going on that he says, oh, by the way, it was only a shvus in the first place? So the Gemara says, Hosum koi, he was going on the statement that the Chachamun said, the Ka'omer Tanakama, Koishro, that the Tanakama said that if it turns out that if somebody has an instrument in the Beis HaMikdash and one of the strings rip, let's say on the harp or something like that, and it rips, and the Levian need the instrument for purposes of performing the Shira for the Avodah, so, there's a machlokes in the Mishnah, the Tanakhama says that you're allowed to make a knot. You're allowed to knot the string on the harp in order to be able to play the music for the... What? The Tanakhama says you can make a knot. Va'omar lei Reb Shimon oingvo. And Reb Shimon says, no, you cannot make a knot because making a knot would really be an issur d'araisa. But rather, you're allowed to make a bow, and a bow is not issur d'araisa. As the Gemara explains, Aniva d'loi osi l'dechi yitchato sharu lei rabbonim. Something that even if you do it, even if you actually make a real bow, it can never come, even if you did it outside of the Beis HaMikdash, even if you did it in a situation when you weren't allowed to do that, making a bow would never be an issur d'araisa. So that's why the Chachamim in the Beis HaMikdash allowed you to make this bow. Shira, on the other hand, making a knot, asi l'dechi yibchatos leishar leirabonon. Something, but making a knot, on the other hand, where if you're not in a situation where it's allowed, in the Beis HaMikdash, for example, it would end up being an issur d'araisa, that the Chachamim were never matir. So the way Rashi is masbir is that you might think that I'm a big makel because I just said that you can even come inside the tchum, even if you're 15 amos outside of the tchum, you could come back in. But the truth of the matter is I was never really being matir anything because those 15 amos were yours all along. In fact, where it's a chash of an issur d'araisa, that's where I am concerned and I do not allow you to do something which potentially could be an issur d'araisa. In fact, I'm very makbid that I only make a knot, because a knot could potentially be an issur d'araisa. So Tosfos asks the question that I think we all ask when we read this last line of the Gemara, which is, why is this line the last line of the Gemara? Why was Reb Shimon waiting to make this statement? The machlekes of the not or versus the bow was three blot before in the Gemara. It was a much earlier Mishnah in the middle of the parak. Why did Rav Shimon wait to make his statement all the way here? So Tosfos answers, because we waited till here because beforehand the Gemara was discussing various different scenarios that could happen in the Beis HaMikdash. And we had a couple of things where we said, you know what, it's in the Beis HaMikdash, we're going to make it mutter. If it wasn't in the Beis HaMikdash outside, the Medina, as the Mishnah refers to it, outside of the Beis HaMikdash, it would be awesome. So Reb Shimon didn't want to interrupt that because it was a list of various different things. So he waited till here until he finishes. That's what Tosfos says, so that he's not interrupting. But the truth of the matter is, as we know, every Masechta finishes on a high note, and Erevin should be no different. And this answer really is a little bit difficult. Tosfos' answer is that he just waited because he didn't want to interrupt. It's a little bit difficult just because, for one reason, as for those of you who remember, there are other machlekes in the Mishnah, in the Mishnayos beforehand, also where Reb Yehuda argues on the Tanakhama about whether you're allowed to put a pin in a door and so on and so forth, various different things. And for some odd reason over there, Reb Yehuda feels it's okay to interrupt. But Reb Shimon doesn't want to interrupt. So it's a little bit difficult to understand why Reb Shimon doesn't want to interrupt. So the Marsha is a beautiful pshat. I'm not going to go through the whole Marsha. Just one point that the Marsha says. The Marsha says, really, Reb Shimon, in fact, is telling us a yisod in the entire Masechta. It's not just, Reb Shimon's waited till the end of the Masechta because really Negeah, his yisod is really Negeah the entire Masechta, not just this one line. And he says like this. He says that, really, for the most part, most of Hilchus Erevin are Dina Derabonim. They're not Deraisas. So that means that, again, going back to the actual wording of Rav Shimon, was Mashaytir Lecha Mishalcha Nasnu Lecha, that really being Matar what was yours. It was never really an Issa Derais over here that we were discussing. It was all an Issa Derabonim. If it's only an Issa Derabonim, so we can say that where we think it's necessary to be Matar, we're going to be Matar. Because the whole purpose of Erevin is, as Rashi in the middle of the Masechta brings, is to be matir, is dacher dachenoi. V'chol nasiv oseh shalom. The purpose of making an eriv is to create shalom. Is to create an achdos vereus among people so that we can get together. Right? Without an eriv, we know it's very difficult. If you live in a community that doesn't have an eriv, you can't go anywhere on Shabbos, you can't visit friends, it makes it very difficult. Whereas if you have an eriv and people are able to get together, it brings about an achdos and a reus. So, the Marsha explains, the Marsha brings a Yerushalmi that Tosfos and the Rosh bring, that there was once a story where there were two women that had a fight. Two women that lived in a neighborhood together and they had a fight. And one time, one of the women said, okay, I want to make it, they lived in two different houses in the same mobile, so they wanted to make an Erev. So, one of the women sent a piece of bread, which is used to make the Erev, she sent it with her son. And when the second woman saw that this lady was sending her son over to create an Erev, she realized that there's no purpose, there's no real reason to be fighting. So she took the Erev and she kissed the son. And when the son came home and told his mother, by the way, when I brought over the Erev to the other lady, she gave me a kiss. So she said, oh, I realized that she obviously loves me, she doesn't hate me, and they became friends. And that's what the Gemara says is the reason why we make an Erev Chatzeres. But the truth of the matter is that the Mishnah gives other reasons. The Mishnah doesn't give that reason. It's a Gemara in Yerushalmi why that reason. The Mishnah itself doesn't give that reason why we have an Erev. The Mishnah explains. Simply because you have two houses and you have a chotzer, they're considered different rishuyos. We need to make an Erev so that they can be considered one rishuyos, so you're able to carry them. That's the simple reason that the Mishnah gives. So what's the purpose of the story? So the Marsha says that's exactly the yisoid that Rav Shimon is saying. Saying the whole purpose of Erevin is to bring shalom. Even, for example, the idea of making an Erev Tchum also is so that you can do a Litvar Mitzvah, that you could have Darcheh Sholem, that you can bring about more mitzvahs in the world. So the purpose of doing the mitzvahs here, the Erev, so when the, since it's only Nisad Rabbanon, Hey Mamru, the Chacham said, you know what, if there's a purpose of Sholem, the fact that this story proves that Erevin is to create Sholem, therefore we're going to be Matar for you anytime we see any reason to be matter. Anytime there's any reason of shalom, so we're going to bring shalom in the world by allowing you to do an Erev. That's the yisoid that Reb Shimon is coming to teach us. It's not just the line in the last line of the Gemara, but rather this is the yisoid in the whole Masechta, that Erevin, the tachlis of Erevin, is to bring more shalom. B'meher yomenu. Hadron Allah, for those of us who made the Siyum Shemit Messiah together, Hadron Allah, Hamoitzi Tfilin, Nesliq Allah, Le'en Masechta's Erevin. Hadron Aloch Maseres Ervin, Bahadron Aloch, Hadron Aloch, Daitach Alon Maseres, Maseres Ervin, Bedaitach Alon, Vayanis Nashim Inach, Maseres.